Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Welcome to the Betting Above the Rim podcast, episode 70. Today's date, July 18th. Today's podcast, we get into three topics. Number one, we'll recap the most impressive performance of the United States men's national team in their 105-79 win over Serbia. We'll talk about what is going right for the Americans who seem to be playing right now, at least as of last night or last game, their best basketball. Next, we'll go to the W. As someone I know really well, Marina Mabry was traded from the Chicago Sky to the Connecticut Sun. I will look at the impact of what Marina can bring to a Connecticut Sun team that's trying to win a WNBA title. And lastly, with it being the Olympic break, halfway point, you would say, but a little bit past halfway point of the WNBA season, we'll look at the championship odds. We'll look at the standings, and then I will go through all 12 teams in the WNBA, and I'm a teacher, so I'm going to give them a report card, a mid-year grade. What is their grade for the first half of the year? Something that went right, and then something that is going wrong. Let's get started with the podcast with the impressive performance by the United States in a 105-79 win over Nikola Jokic and Serbia. Simply put, it was the best performance of the United States team as Steph Curry led the way with 24 points. Got to a great start early on as it was a game. Bam Adebayo, great game, 17-8. And then obviously Ant-Man, who continues to be one of the best scorers that we have right now for our team with 16 points. Obviously looking at it the other way, Nikola Jokic, double-double, did not shoot the ball particularly well. So the reason why you want to look at this game and think about what went right. If you look at the first game versus Canada, we threw the ball around the gym, and then, you know, we played great defense, right? Then you looked at the second game versus Australia. We had great offense, and then we didn't play any defense. So when you start looking at the game versus Serbia, you know, you kind of got what I thought was the best overall performance of our team in regards to the fact that if you look at the box score, first things first, you look at the what they did to Nikola Jokic, two-time MVP, our best players in the world. And held Nikola Jokic to 6 of 19 from the floor, 16 points and a minus 27. Biggest minus for Serbia. We held them for 29.4% from three. We only give up 5 offensive rebounds, right? So we did things defensively that were really good. Offensively, biggest takeaway for me were off the bat 12. It's 12 turnovers. When I coached college basketball, we tried to say 3 turnovers or less a quarter or 12 turnovers or less. That's the magic number, 12. And we only had 12 turnovers. We outshot them from the floor, 52.9% to 40.8%. We outshot them from three. 44.4 to 29.4. We made 6 more threes. That's a plus 18, right? We made 17 free throws. They attempted 12. We had 8 offensive rebounds. They had 5. We had 38 total rebounds. They had 21. Right? So we did what we were supposed to do. And this is what I have been waiting for this team. The bench was outstanding. I've gone back and forth on whether we want to start and come off the bench. Game number one, Canada came off the bench. Game number two, Australia started. Game number three, come off the bench. And it was a fantastic. 5 out of 10 from floor, 2 out of 5 from three. 3 steals, plus 21, 16 points. But the guys I want to highlight is I really like Bam and Anthony Davis playing together as this 4-5 combo. They are electric defensively. So now you could switch. Either one can go outside. Either one can go inside. And particularly Bam has shown his ability that he hasn't shown it on Miami, folks. And that's to be a stretch 4. 6 of 9 from the floor, 3 out of 5 from 3, 17 points, 8 rebounds, 3 assists, and a ton of block shots. Bam is such an underrated player in this league. And we're seeing him stretch his wings because he's never been asked to be a stretch 4 because there's never been a 5 to play with him. I mean, maybe a long time ago with Hassan Whiteside, maybe. But Bam is showing his true colors, what he is. Anthony Davis did not score the ball a ton. And I'm wrong. Ant had the 6 blocks. Not Bam, sorry. But 6, 6, 6. And he wasn't the devil. I like this combination of the two of them playing together. And I like the intensity of the USA team after being tied after 1, gave up 28 points. How about they give up 30 points second and third quarter combined? Outscoring them 55-30. So we showed that while we have to clamp down on and off the defensive end, but still score 31-24, that is a big deal for me. Got to remember, folks, we're only playing 40-minute games. FIBA rules are 4 10-minute quarters instead of 4 12-minute quarters in the NBA. So for us to put up 105 points in 40 minutes, it's pretty damn good. The USA team is playing for the first time, in my opinion, like the way they should play. And a part of the reason why also is the play of Steph Curry. In that second quarter, that 31-17 run, Steph Curry had 9 points. 2 out of 2 from 3. Kind of got us going a little bit there. So I thought he was really big in that quarter, along with Bam getting 7 and Edwards getting 5. They picked up the intensity. You come out of the break, right? Third quarter. You know, what do you do in the third quarter? Well, you outscored them 24-13. So I thought that we did a great job of pushing the lead in the second quarter, but put the game away in the third. It's the best we've looked, folks. And it's no reason why we are going to be heavy favorites to win the gold. Next up, South Sudan, Saturday, 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. South Sudan, duck. Moving on to our next part of the podcast, and a kid I used to call Shooter, because when she got in the gym, this girl could shoot. Marina Mabry was traded from the Chicago Sky to the Connecticut Sun. A trade that sent Marina and a 2025 second-round draft pick to Connecticut for Mariah Jefferson, Rachel Banham, a 2025 first round pick, and a swap rights in 2026. Marina Mabry is someone that I've known, and everybody knows the Jersey Shore. The Mabry family, particularly on the girls' side, shout out to mom, Patty Mabry. They're like the gold standard of Jersey Shore basketball on the girls' side. And if you know anything about basketball, girls' basketball in particular, the Jersey Shore produces Division I players at an obscene rate. And I've gotten to see all three of the Mabry girls. Michaela, played at Notre Dame. Obviously, Marina here. And then Dara. Started out at Virginia Tech with Kenny Brooks and then ended up at Notre Dame. Marina's one of the toughest MFers I've ever met. And she gives no ground to anyone. And she is perfect for the Chicago Sky. Number one, when you look at the analytics, right? Advanced metrics. And you look at offensive rating, Connecticut Sun does have the third best offensive rating. It's pretty good, right? But they're ninth in effective field goal shooting percentage. They are 10th in three-pointers made per game. They shoot the third fewest threes. And their three-point shooting percentage, also 10th at 31.4%. So then you're looking at it, you're saying, where does Michaela Mabry come in all of this? Folks, Michaela Mabry is 7th in the WNBA at three-pointers made per game at 2.3. She takes the 7th most threes in a game at 6.7. And although she doesn't shoot it at the clip you want her to, it's the fact that she's willing to take the three. She's a big game player. She was really good when Dallas with her and Arike Wumbawale. Connecticut had to address their shooting. They had to also bring someone who could defend. Someone that could be tough. No BS. That shooter. That's Marina Mabry. And it's just so fitting to me, folks, that the day after, they lost their third game to the Liberty, they went and got themselves a shooter. And Mabry is someone that has made more three-pointers per game since Katie Douglas played for Connecticut Sun. Folks, that was 18 years ago. She may not shoot it well this year, but she shoots at 36% for her career. I think she shot it near 40%. Shooters heading east. And let me tell you one thing else she does. When she plays the Liberty, she balls out. Let's end today's podcast by first looking at the standings in the WNBA. The Liberty had the best record in the W with a record of 21-4. Remember, folks, they have three wins over Connecticut. So that 18-6 record is really three games in a loss column because the Liberty have won the season series from Connecticut. Minnesota linked to 17-8, tied with the Storm. Half game behind them, it's Aces at 16-8. The only other team over 500 is Phoenix Mercury at 13-12. And then the bottom half of the league, Indiana, Chicago, Atlanta, Sparks, Mystics, Wings. When you pull up the odds to win the WNBA championship, the Vegas Aces are still a favorite at plus 140. Liberty are 40 cents behind. Connecticut is now the third favorite at 8.5-1. Minnesota Lynx and the Seattle Storm, 50 cents behind them at 9-1. Seattle 25-1, Indiana 80-1, Chicago 100-1, Atlanta and Dallas, they don't got a chance, and you know what? And I don't even see the Mystics or the Sparks. So they're more than 250-1. So when you look at this, I want to go through each team based off of my grade as a coach, where I have the grade, what went right, what went wrong. Two Fs. One of them is going to the Dallas Wings. A Dallas Wings that are 6-19. Odds right now are 25,000. 250-1. What went right for them is the play of Arike Ogunbowale, who continues to be one of the most dynamic scorers. Yes, I know they won last night. I know they beat Indiana. They're still getting enough for me because this is a whole season thing. This isn't now. What went right is Arike Ogunbowale continues to be one of the best players in the WNBA, getting you about 22 points per game, 4.5 rebounds, and the thing I like the most, 5.2 assists. She's had to do more, particularly in regards to passing the ball, because her backcourt mate last year, Marina Mabry, also her backcourt mate of Notre Dame, has now been traded, I guess, twice. What went wrong? Simply put, defense and rebounding. When you start looking at teams, right, and you start looking at the opponent, they do not, in my opinion, rebound the ball well. Now, I know they're rated second, but I don't think they do it at a rate that I think I agree with. Part of that's the play of Tierra McCallum. But then you look at defense overall, and they're last in the WNBA in a defensive rating of 109.4. That's not good. They don't protect the basket. And they have a bunch of scores, but they can't stop anybody. You got to realize that teams are shooting 47.1% from the floor. That's the worst in the WNBA. The teams shoot 35% from three. That's one of the worst in the WNBA. And they give up the most assists toward their opponents. So the defense and rebounding, more defense has been terrible. I will add they've had injury concerns. Satu Sabali has not played pretty much all year. Matty Seeker, a second-year player, played so well with Satu out, has been out. My one F goes to the Dallas Wings. Next F is to the Atlanta Dream. 7-17 record, 150-1 to win. Here's the thing, folks. What went right is they started the season 4-2. They look good. Folks, do you know that the Atlanta Dream, ready for this? The Atlanta Dream have a win over the Aces. They're in their game, and I think their sixth game, they beat the Vegas Aces 78-74. They've won three games since. So what went wrong? Simply put, they lost Ryan Howard. Ryan Howard, who was getting you 15.4 points per game, she's only played in 14 games. Last game she played, she's come back a couple of games, but that was just this game, so I'm not even going to count the game against Minnesota. First game she came back in a month. Game before that, she played versus Minnesota, was on the 19th. Of June. You think she means a lot? She got hurt the 19th, that game. They've won one game since. And that was a wild game versus Connecticut that they won 78-74. They missed Ryan Howard. Let's see if the season can turn around. It'll be tough because coming out of the break, they got to go Seattle, Connecticut, Phoenix, Phoenix. All four at home. Still could be four losses. Next up are the Sparks. They're a little bit better. They get a day, 6-18, 250-1. What went right? Let's be honest. Tarika Hamby. Tarika Hamby, who was once a better member of the Las Vegas Aces, has gone and become an absolute double-double machine. And it's really been fun to watch her play. Tarika Hamby that averages 10 rebounds a game, which is fourth in the WNBA. Tarika Hamby that's getting you, just under 20 points a game, 19.2, eighth. So she's become an outstanding player. Also for me, Rekia Jackson, rookie out of Tennessee, now up to 11.3, 3.8. Simply put, as she's gotten the time, she has shown that she can do it and could score. Double figures in six out of her last seven games. And putting up good numbers, 22-6-3 versus Phoenix, pretty good team. Right, 14-6 in an overtime win versus Las Vegas. 19-10-3 in a five-point loss to Minnesota. Rekia Jackson's been damn good. She's always been known as a scorer, and she's doing a really good job so far for the LA Sparks. What's been wrong? Cameron Brink getting hurt. Cameron Brink was not lighting the WNBA on fire in no way, shape, or form. But I thought I saw Cameron starting to play better. She was only up to 7.5, 5.3. But the last game before she got hurt, 16-7, she was starting to stay. I mean, listen, she was fouling like no one's business. But she was starting to play better basketball, and they needed her for that development. So it's a lost year for a kid. Hopefully the ACL heals up. We'll see Cameron break next year. But for right now, at 6-18, they get a D. Next, I want to see minus is the Washington Mystics. You're like, what? Coach, they're 6-19. Like, what are you talking about? They're odds of 250-1 to win the championship. Folks, simply put, this team started 0-12. They were so far dead in the water that I am shocked that after going 6-12, this team is 6-7 in their last 13 games. And when you think about it, like, they are defensively, you know, they're eighth. Offensive rating, they're not good. They're ninth, right? Offensive rebounding percentage, they're eighth. Rebounding percentage, they're 10th. But to be 0-12 with a young team, got to remember, Elena Deladon, gone. Natasha Cloud, gone. Two best players, young team, young coach, right? Coach Thibault's in his second year. For them to be 6-7 in the last 13 games gives me a lot of respect of what this young team has done. The other thing I've liked about this team is I like to look at the young kids because I think there's a big jump from college to the WNBA. And I've liked what I've seen out of the rookie out of UConn, Aaliyah Edwards. You're like, coach, she's like getting you 8.6, 5.9. But she's playing better. She's shooting the ball 48% from three. She's still not getting big minutes. but she's showing that she belongs. This is someone that, you know, really didn't get a double-digit game until four games into her career. She's never going to blow the box score off. But to me, going into the Olympic break, three out of four games in double figures, to me, that's encouraging for Lee Edwards. Simply put, short season 0-12. They ain't know it. What else can go wrong? Everything. We're 0-12. But I'm really encouraged by this team going 6-7. Next up, we're going to go to Chicago, to the Sky. I give them a flat C, average. Record of 10-14. 100-1 to win the championship. Simply put, what went right? Angel Reese. I know I've said things about Angel Reese. I'm not happy about how she carried herself in a double-double streak. I get it. But I don't care. Because the girl is Dennis freaking Rodman. Getting you 11.9 rebounds per game. Leading the WNBA by 1.5 offensive rebounds per game. With her teammate Camila Cardoza second. Those two average 8 rebounds a game on the offensive end. Now, that may mean, oh, God, coach, that team can't shoot. Probably right. You're probably right. They miss a bunch of bunnies. They're second worst shooting team in 42.5%. But that 11.1 offensive rebounds, right? That offensive rebounding percentage of second in the WNBA, 34.2%. This team, I love. They play hard. They play really hard. And as much as we want to talk about Angel Reese, Camila Cardoza, you have to look at Teresa Weatherspoon and how Teaspoon is getting this team to fight every single night. And I love that about Teresa Weatherspoon. She was the same way she played in the WNBA for the Liberty, and she's translated that to a coach. Thank God they got her in the W because she's a damn good coach, and she'll get better. What they have to improve on is they have to be more mature. I don't need to go into the incidents. You know about them. I don't need to go about how they act during double doubles. You know about them. They got to focus on the end game. That's the wins. You know the phrase, we before me? They need that. But at 10-14, folks, 10-14, what's that? Playoffs. Right now, they are the 8th seed, 3 games ahead of the Atlanta Dream. Let's move on to our next team that I want to bring up in my coaching evaluation is the Phoenix Mercury with a B-, record of 13-12. 25-1 to win it all. Why? Things are going right, folks. BG's back. And she's having herself a pretty good year. Scoring at 18.6 points per game, 6.4 rebounds. Her points per game put her 9th in the WNBA. Other thing that's gone right, a.k.a. walking bucket, Kalia Copper. One of the best pure scorers in the game. Number 2 in the WNBA, 23.2 points per game. Think Chicago misses her? 4.6 rebounds. She's someone that can get her shot off anytime, anywhere, any place, on anyone. And she has become that go-to player that has allowed Brittany Griner and Taurasi, who's also having a pretty good year. People want to knock her about going to the Olympic team, yada, yada, yada. Taurasi's still giving you 16.1 points per game, 40% from the floor, 36.7% from three, and almost five rebounds a night. So they're playing better. They've been better since BG has gone there, and I think they're not going to win the WNBA championship, but they're going to give teams some scares. Why are they not going to do it? They don't defend. 105.4 defensive rating, fourth worst in the WNBA. You start looking at their opponents, right, and what they do versus them. Opponent field goal shooting percentage, fifth worst. Opponent three-point shooting percentage, middle of the pack, right? Opponent's rebounds, they give up the second most rebounds per game. They look at assists, get up the second most. So a team that has great offense can't stop anybody. And until they get stops, they got a good defender in Natasha Cloud. The Phoenix Mercury, as good as they are offensively, can't win a WNBA championship. Next up, they give me Fever. Indiana Fever, 11-15. Why? Do I have to say it? Did you see the game, the 19 assists last night? Do you see how much she's elevated this game? To see how this young lady, Caitlin Clark, leads the WNBA in assists? This lady, Caitlin Clark, that's 24th in the WNBA and rebounds per game? This girl, Caitlin Clark, is 15th in scoring? Give me someone that's 15th in scoring, 24th and rebounding per game and first in assists. I know she turns the ball over. I don't care. Her usage rate is out of control. She's been damn good. In fact, I'll dare to say she's been better. Caitlin Clark right now, folks, is a top 10 player in the WNBA. Caitlin Clark right now, top 10 in the league. And definitely one of the 10 most important people in the WNBA for what she does in her totality of her game. But it's more than Caitlin Clark. As good as she's been, Caitlin Clark, I feel the season turned when Aaliyah Boston stepped up. Aaliyah Boston now up to ninth in the WNBA at 8.7 points per game. 8.7 rebounds per game, I should say. She's getting you 14.2. I think she had 28-8 last night versus Dallas. She has gotten better. She has gotten better. And as she's gotten better, the team has gotten better. I want people to realize with Aaliyah Boston, with those stats that she has, the first time that Aaliyah Boston scored 20 points in a game was June 13th. The first time that Aaliyah Boston got double-digit rebounds, I think it was in game 10. Now look at Aaliyah Boston, 20 points in two of her last three games. Double-digit rebounds in two of her last three games. Aaliyah Boston hasn't had less than six rebounds since a 104-68 loss to the New York Liberty. She has been better. The problems that you have with them is what you would normally have with a young team. It's the ability to get stops. That has been their issue, right? Defensive rating of 11th. Sure, look what opponents do against them. Shooting percentage against, fourth worst. I mean, teams shoot the fourth best. Three-point shooting percentage, third worst. Opponents rebounding. They give up some rebounds. Assists, third most assists given up. They also seem to struggle starting games at halftime. Folks, that's coaching. Christy Sides has gotten better, but they need her to step up like her team is stepping up. She's a fiery coach. She has passion. I love it about Christy Sides. they got to be better, be ready when the game starts. More importantly, coming out of the break. Because I think they have the lowest, I think their points differential after in third quarter is the worst. Next up, it's going to be interesting because it's the Aces. And the Aces have two grades. They have an F and an A. You're like, what? Team 16 and 8. Coach, wait a minute. Like, how are they have this record? Very simply put, they get an F before Chelsea Gray came back, and they got an A now. Simply put, they are two separate teams. Pre-point guard, pulse point guard playing. She solidifies everything. She allows Jackie Young to move to the two. She allows Kelsey Plum to be the three. She's a dog defensively. She leads. She settles everybody down offensively. And she doesn't care if she scores or not. She wants to win. So when they got the point guard back, that's when the team took off. Like I said, one loss. Actually, two losses. Because they lost to Chicago. And that's where my problems start. Their defensive effort at times is piss poor. Folks, the games that they have lost, 98-78, that's Atlanta, they're not good. 78, Seattle, that's a defensive struggle. 96-100, 90-93-98. Yikes. They miss Candace Parker. Because Candace Parker was tough as you know what. They allowed teams to shoot the second best three-point shooting percentage against. Their opponents have the third most rebounds. They have to be better on the defensive end of the floor. And I think they have a problem defending bigs. You want to look at it? Fine, let's look at it. I'm not counting the game against Chicago because I don't, although they're good, I don't consider it someone like Cardoza or someone you can throw the ball in a basket and say, go get a bucket. Take care of it. When he lost at 98-93 to the Sparks, Tarika Hamby, 28 points, 14 rebounds. You look at the loss to the Liberty. All right, no, I don't have to look it up. Guarantee you, Jonquel went off. Jonquel Jones, 34-8. Stewie, 14-12. Right? You keep looking. The loss they had, 186 to the Minnesota Lynx. Who did it? A little bit of everybody. They held Nikita Collier down. But everybody went off that game, so I can't even count that. This is defensive effort. Seattle with the slugfest. Right? Megabur, 14 points, 15 rebounds. They can't defend bigs. Kia Stokes is a good little player. She can't rock with the best bigs. So either you have to put Asia Wilson to guard them, but then you may be sacrificing offense, or they got to find a way schematically defend bigs better. F-A. That being said, point guard's back. They're still the favorites to win the WNBA championship. And I am going back and forth who I think wins it. Next team, Connecticut Sun, 8.5-1, 18-6, grade of an A. Why do I love them? They're tough. They're tough. They're tough. They're tough. They're tough. They defend you. They're dogs. Bonner. Dog. Thomas, dog. Carrington, dog. Like, they got dogs. Like, that's the type of team I want to coach. A team like a rock. Breonna Jones, dog. They missed her last year. Remember, she tore her Achilles. Tiffany Harris, dog. I mean, they lock you up. They put you in jail. And the play of Carrington has been fantastic. I've been a big fan of her development. 12.9 points per game, 5.1 rebounds. You look at the course of her career. Last year, 8 points. Think about how this girl's gotten better. Points per game, folks. 2.8, 6.8, 8.3, 12.9. That's a kid that's getting better. And she's become one of the better two-way players in the WNBA. What went wrong? They can't shoot. Can't shoot. They just cannot shoot, particularly from three. Average only 5.5 three-pointers per minute. We talked about this, right? Only have 17.7 attempts. Third worst shooting percentage in the WNBA. They took care of that with Marina Mabry. They're an A, and they're going to be a problem come playoffs. Last two teams, A+. His first Minnesota Lynx, A+. What went right? Fisher Collier. She's a top five player in the sport. I know they're had her out a couple of games, but she's the top five. She is a top five player in the world right now. You may disagree with me. I don't care. Number five in the WNBA and points per game. Number three in the WNBA and rebounding per game, right? She has been outstanding. Outstanding to play Nafisa Collier. And there was a reason why before she got hurt last couple games that she went to second for WNBA MVP odds. Secondly, coaching. Sheryl Reeves is one of the best coaches in the world. She may be the best. I mean, people want to talk about Becky Hammond. People talk about Sandy Bordello. Who got more rings than them? Who's won all different ways? Sheryl Reeves. She's also the coach of Team USA. A+. To Minnesota Lynx. What are they missing? What's going wrong? They need, I'm always going to take care of my Jersey kids. They need Diamond Miller back. They need my girl Diamond back. They're 9-1 odds to win the WNBA championship. The best team in the league? The other A+, New York Liberty, 21-4. What went right? Sabrina Ionescu, up to 6th in the WNBA in scoring. She is the leading scorer in this team. Sabrina Ionescu has been, I want to say something to people. Sabrina Ionescu was Caitlin Clark before Caitlin Clark. The problem that we had with Sab is her senior year at Oregon was the COVID year. I know Sab. I know Kelly Graves. I know Mark Campbell. I know Chavi Lopez. That team was going to win a national championship. And they would be talking differently about Sabrina. But I'm going to tell you something right now. Sabrina gave them something that they could think about. Eastern Conference Player of the Month last month. She has been the best player on the Liberty. You hear me? They got Stewie. They got Jonquel Jones. They got one of the best 3-and-D players in the league in Bonanza Laney Hamilton. They got Sloot. The best player right now on the Liberty is Sabrina Ionescu. Case closed. And people need to put respect on her name. She's moved up to 2nd in the MVP odds. I mean, she's not going to catch Asia Wilson. But Sab is that damn good. She struggled early in her career because she didn't have the supporting cast or the coaching. She's got the other players. She's got Bernard Laney Hamilton that could be a 3-and-D player. She's got Stewie, one of the best players in the world, right? She's got Double J, Jonquel Jones, 6'5", stretch 5, could do it all. They got Courtney Vanderson, one of the best pure point guards in the history of this league. And because they have all of them, Sab is starting to shine. Because all those reasons, are also the best team scoring-wise in the WNBA. They could score the ball like nobody's business. 2nd in the league at 85.8 points per game, only behind the Las Vegas Aces. Right? You start looking at some of the factors here. How they shoot from the floor, 2nd behind the Aces. Okay? 3-point shooting, they're 4th. You know, free throw percentage, they're 3rd. Turnover, assists, 2nd in the league. They turn it over the third least. And then you start getting into their advanced metrics, right? Their offensive rating is number one. Their assist percentage, assist on 74% of the time. Assist turnover ratio, second, right? Offensive rebounding percentage. They don't need to get offensive rebounds because they do a great job. Turnover percentage, they're good. Effective field goal percentage, they shoot the best in the WNBA, and they're one tick behind the Vegas Aces for true shooting percentage. They have the best offense because they also have five girls, kind of like Vegas, one A and one B, in scoring. What's gone wrong with the Liberty? They've had health concerns. You look at the team. They've had Sloot has missed a boatload of games. And that's kind of when Sab kind of stepped up. Sabrina Nevsky's played 24 out of 25 games. Stewie's played 23 out of 25. 24 out of 25 from Jonquel Jones. 10 missed games for Sloot. 7 missed games for Bonaja Laney Hamilton, and she's got a knee issue. Health is going to be their Achilles heel. It also may be their depth. This has been your WNBA, I guess, midterm grades. Really quick to go through them. Really quick. We have an F for Dallas. We have an F for Atlanta. We have a D for the Sparks. We have a C minus for the Mystics. We have a C for the Sky. We have a B minus for the Mercury. We have that like B for the Fever. We have that FA, if you want to call it, for the Aces. And then the three A's, Connecticut Sun, A plus for the Lynx, A plus for the Liberty. This has been your Betting Above the Rim podcast for July 18th. For all things sports gambling, download that Sports Grid app, pregame, postgame, and in-game, prop predictions and more from the very best of the sports gambling industry. Really quick, folks, we do have the WNBA All-Star game on Saturday. Look for my plays and thoughts only on the WNBA, on the Sports Grid app. Make sure you check it out. From our producer, Matty George, Vinny, who always does a great job with the graphics. Thank you for listening, folks. It was a long one. It's smarter to be on Sports Grid. Good night.
Forget everything you had planned for this weekend because you are sitting on your couch and winning from the comfort of your own home. I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play hundreds of slot games, all of the table games you love, and you could even win real cash prizes. New users, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.